It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Thunderstruck here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day on RBN Network this morning from Phoenix, Arizona, in the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. My wife goes, we're listening to one of the shows yesterday, and she goes, do you always got to do the BEA? You know why I do that? Because I always had a problem spelling it until Jim Carrey in, I don't know, one of his movies, Ace Ventura or something, he went, BEA beautiful. And I go, so that's how you spell it. Oh, it just made it so much easier, and I do that for you. He did me a solid. I'm doing you a solid now. We got today, John Dennis is running for Congress in California's 8th District. Now, I've gotten a lot of call, got to get John on. Why? Because he's running against Nancy Pelosi. You know, oh, if that isn't a good enough reason right there. So we, he has an interesting campaign. He has some things that has happened that's, got him some attention. He beat the establishment candidate, Dana Walsh, who raised about $2 million to mount her unsuccessful campaign in trying to get the nomination to run against Pelosi. Now, John, I got you there, John? John, you there?
I am. Ernie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. John, tell me, do you have any significant endorsements? Somebody likes you, somebody wants me to talk to you. Who might that be?
Let's see. There were a couple of interesting guys. This guy Ron Paul endorsed me.
Oh, man, why would he do such a thing?
And then a guy by the name of Barry Goldwater Jr. endorsed me.
Nah, whatever. Well, tell me about the Ron Paul thing. Why why would he endorse you for what?
Well, I was a big supporter of his. I worked on his 2008 campaign. I didn't make it to the documentary for Liberty like some people maybe, but I did in fact work on that campaign. And also, I'm a pro-liberty guy, and I've always had that philosophical conviction. And amongst other things, that leads me to the position that we should be out of Iraq and Afghanistan. And I think he might have thought it was an interesting race to have an anti-war Republican run against Nancy Pelosi.
Okay, now this is what we're going to do for this hour. I'm going to grill the living snot out of you. We're going to find out how much maybe we might want to show you some love. Or not.
Okay.
Or not. Whatever. We got plenty of stuff to do, okay? So this is what we're going to do. It's a short segment, about a minute. We'll go to break. Then we'll come back and we'll have a nice big 12-minute segment to work on. Then it goes 7 minutes to the bottom of the hour. Then we got a big 18-minute and then a little short 5-minute at the end. So that's just so you know what we're doing here. This is just like a little intro section here. Then we'll get into it. Because the first thing, one, it's interesting. I remember in the last election they had Cindy Sheehan running up against Pelosi in the Democratic primary. And that, so I'm kind of familiar with how the dynamic works there in the media and how, the machine that Pelosi represents, what's going on there and so on. Then I wanted to, that was the primary. So now we're getting into where we're going to go to the general with a Ron Paul endorsed candidate running against Pelosi. That's just interesting right there, just for grins and giggles. But the thing is that you won your primary against the establishment Republican there. We want to talk all about that and get the dynamics of this thing. And then, certainly at least past the bottom of the hour, then I'm going to start drilling you in on issues. We're going to find out for the Lovelution. They want to know. They want to know. They want to know. And you want to tell them we're all going to work together. We're going to understand each other. We'll do that starting right when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and John Dennis. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
World on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love?
Oh, it's right here! Right here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and we got John Dennis, Congressional 8 in California, running for Congress against Nancy Pelosi. And, you know, he wants to share some love. You know, he's part of the revolution, at least part of, you know, Dr. Paul's effort to, free as many minds as possible was my goal. So in California, John Dennis was there to work with Dr. Paul. And if you go to your, I go to your site, John. I'm up here, johndennis2010.com. Okay, johndennis2010.com. And John Dennis defeat Pelosi. Here we go. We go about John. And it tells me a little bit about John. And the main thing is that I get out of this is that, you know, humble beginnings, son of a longshoreman in New Jersey. Your mother was a city hall clerk. You kind of came up in the housing projects. You go to Fordham University. You get a degree in business. You start a business. You're doing specializing in office ergonomics. You make a little bit of cash. You go to San Francisco. You start getting involved in traditional politics. Okay, I can see this. Founder of San Francisco chapter Republican Liberty Caucus. Well, different Liberty Caucus is like libertarians in the Republican Party. Okay, that's kind of what it is, and they have varying degrees of how libertarian they are. And they, you know, but they definitely register in Republican. You know, so I've had my share of. So we'll get into that and see where your head's at on that. You know, you are currently the head of the Campaign for Liberty in San Francisco. So you definitely gone into the, we're going to fix the Republican Party from the inside using the foundation and mechanism and infrastructure that Dr. Paul has created. I look at your, and you got some other, you know, inside the Republican Party kind of stuff. I mean, you're involved in the Republican Party in California. Okay, we can get that straight. Then we have the endorsement by Dr. Paul, and I'm going, okay, cool. You know, we'll give you a shot, you know, take a look. And then you good-looking politician-looking kind of guy. You know, looks like you're tall, you're tan, salt and pepper, look good, nice suit. So
you
we
know,
got,
I'm married, by the way. Take it easy there, okay?
Married, and got a little girl, you know. You, man, you're just cookie cutter. We need to get guy up there, because a lot of the criticisms that you have of freedom-oriented candidates is that, well, they're not electable because his hair is too long. His complexion's not good enough. He doesn't wear the right suits. You got all these bases covered. You are a, by all appearances here and website and everything, a credible Republican, well endorsed, got some money, beat a lot of money, establishment person in the primary, ready and poised to go up against Nancy Pelosi. Now, this is the first impression that someone would get going here, okay? What would you add to that?
Well, I guess, you know, I'm not really a politician. I'm just a guy who was going along through life and got married, and my daughter was born about 4 years ago. And I just realized that what I was able to do, those the options that I had growing up in the 60s and the early 70s, not really going to be available to my daughter and to, you know, other kids her age and future generations of Americans unless our generation stands up and says something and talks about what we believe in. And so I'm trying to run that kind of a campaign, trying to walk the line between, you know, being a credible political candidate on the one hand, but also campaigning based on what I believe in.
Okay, now this is where I do a lot of these interviews, okay? And this is where we come in. I have been doing this for 22 years. It was essential in my mind, with the same realization as you. I have four children, 20 to 24, two boys, two girls. When they were little in the late 80s, all of a sudden I came to this realization, same thing. There is absolutely no possibility that they are going to have the same freedoms and opportunities that I had at that time by the time they were my age, which is coming up. And I go, this is, oh, heck no. And I saw what it was. I challenged 44 election laws in 91 all the way to the Ninth Circuit. And it was because I saw what they did with the system. They made absolutely certain that no one was allowed to dissent. They eliminated competition before it started. And anybody that had any doubt whatsoever, all you got to do is look at the 2008 presidential campaign of Ron Paul. You saw how the system was set up to make certain that someone exactly like him, the salvation of the republic, was not possible. Okay? So now we can see, all right, are we going to make headway? Are we going to change the system from the inside? Are we going to, you know, some people have various opinions. I'm planning on, you know, I'm not counting on the system. Let's put it that way. But the thing is that you can use the system. I run in every election. I run for Congress against Shattuck three times. I ran against John McCain. I ran for Secretary of State twice, you know, 94 and 2007. I mean, I run. I use the soap. Oh, we're going to change the culture. We're going to create a lovolution. We're going to create an understanding so that a foundation exists for when John Dennis goes up against Nancy Pelosi, the people at least understand, whether they agree or not, they at least understand the freaking verbiage that you're using. This is the importance.
You know, it's absolutely true. And, you know, I was just teasing you about the documentary For Liberty. I just had the pleasure of seeing it, and it reminded me of that moment when, and it was over, you know, foreign policy and a war issue, when Ron Paul was went up against Rudy Giuliani, where Giuliani tried to grandstand against him, and you know, Ron Paul in that moment launched a movement by simply just saying, you know, that our foreign policy's got to change and that they don't attack us because we're rich and we're free, but they attack us because we're over there.
You know, this is what John Dennis is talking about is For Liberty. The Ron Paul Revolution, how the Ron Paul Revolution watered the withered tree of liberty. It's a documentary. It's been playing on PBS stations around the country. You can download it. I mean, it's a fantastic movie. And they're doing more now. We've seen the filmmakers up at Porkfest in New Hampshire. And it's, matter of fact, they're doing a pilot for a TV series on cable. And it's, it's called American Descent. And it's just, so this is much larger movement. And what you saw there when Dr. Paul said, that's why I was so certain what was going to happen with the revolution. We were doing that months before he even acknowledged it. I mean, they were like, are you sure you want to use the word revolution? And so I'm like, you know, talk to the hand. I don't have anything to do with the campaign. And the reason was, is because I knew from being grassroots activist out here that that sentiment was already there. It's just that Ron's generation and a lot of other people didn't know it. Many of us here and there, we knew it. We're like, man, you have no idea what's coming. Here it comes. So when it got sparked, that is the foundation that you can benefit from. And the questions in the interview that we're doing today is just, it's nothing that I'm going to do. I mean, I already know. You want to try and kill a movement, try to control it. You just let it go. But you inform them. And we have with Freedom's Phoenix in this show the ability to communicate with the Lovolution, all these people that were doing this, and let them know John Dennis is out there, and is this an opportunity for us to go do some butt whipping and have some fun for a couple of months? And I'm telling you, Nancy Pelosi, we could have us some fun. So what I want to know is go ahead and walk me through this, the primary. Tell me what happened. Who are you up against? What was it that was in opposition to you in the Republican Party, and how did you prevail?
Well, the opponent in the primary ran against Nancy Pelosi in 2008. She'd been the seventh-time elected person to the a member of the Republican Central Committee here in San Francisco. And I'd never, you know, run for office before. She raised more money than all 10 of Nancy Pelosi's previous Republican opponents combined in 2008. And in this primary, we were outraised about 10 to 1 in the fourth quarter, and when the dust settled, we will have been outraised in that primary about 3 to 1. She raised about $2 million. And she was, I don't know, I guess you can call her the establishment candidate. She certainly had the party line in terms of foreign policy and, you know, that the sort of the standard party line, neocon party line on foreign policy. I came in as an outsider. I'd started, you know, working my way around the Republican Party, was an alternate in the Republican Central Committee. But one of the things that I did, I noticed that a lot of guys who got involved in the Republican Party politics after the Ron Paul revolution.
Okay, now hold on. We're going to go to break right now, right? That's sure. A good place to stop, right where you're at. How you got involved in your evolution and involvement in the Ron Paul campaign and how that transcended into you running for Congress. Go ahead and keep that thought. Write it down. I want to start right there when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, maybe an independence declaring kind of guy, John Dennis running against Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, you don't go anywhere. You want to hear this one. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Me, Ernest Hancock, and John Dennis running against Nancy Pelosi and congressional aide in the California San Francisco IA. How about some truth? Maybe some justice and what used to be the American way wouldn't hurt neither. But you cannot have, I don't know, trust or love or any of the positive aspects of humanity without, you know, truth. You know, just stop lying to ourselves. So, anyway, that's what we're trying to do. You know, Freedom's Phoenix, uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies. That's what we do. Well, that sounds like a cool, catchy phrase. Yeah, until you start really doing it. And then what happens? Ooh, revolution happens. That's what happens. This is, John, I want you to go ahead and continue from where you left off. You got involved with Dr. Paul's campaign. How? Why? Tell me all about that.
Well, first, let me just take a step back. I actually wasn't terribly politically active. I was a student body president in college. The only other political thing I did since college, apart from a few years ago, is I worked briefly on Ron's campaign when he ran for president in 1988 as a libertarian. And then, of course, I got involved in the 2008 campaign almost by accident. But the one thing I noticed was that when he ran in 1988, he got his typical 500,000 votes that the libertarians get. And then when he ran as a Republican for president in 2008, he launched a revolution, launched a movement. And so I thought that there was some value to growing the liberty wing of the Republican Party, because the fact of the matter is that we have this one-party system with two factions, and if you're not involved in in either one of the two parties, you don't really have a political voice. So says you.
Well, but I understand. And if you want to play on, you know, in this actually this winning thing, you want to be up, you know, because here in Arizona we're a little bit different because we've been such buttheads for a long time. We're included in all the debates. We're on the televised stuff. We get all the interviews. So that doesn't really apply here. But I understand your point that you want to be able to have get this set up on the table and hold the cardboard cutout of Nancy Pelosi because she won't show up. I mean, I get it, you know. So the thing is you want to have that kind of voice. You want to be a credible threat. You want to be in there to have the same chance to do what Dr. Paul has done in Texas. Then you're going to go in Republicans and play Republican. I don't have a problem with that. In fact, we have an organization called Western Libertarian Alliance, WLA. It does not have any it doesn't care whether you're Republican, Democrat, whatever. We're looking straight at philosophy. The endorsement from the WLA is straight on philosophy. Little initials after your name mean nothing to me, and we'll get to that. So that's, you know, what this whole thing is about, is whether you get that WLA little gold star, okay? So you got in, you want to play real politic and get in the Republican Party, help Dr. Paul spread the freedom movement. I get it. So go ahead and go.
Well, I was just gonna, yeah, actually, you're right. It's probably better to say that you have a large, much larger political voice if you want to do electoral politics, if you think that's the route to go, then you know, being involved in one of the big parties. And so I've been, you know, registered as a Republican for 25 years, and I looked at the performance of Dana Walsh in 2008. She was the worst performing Republican nominee for Congress here in San Francisco going back to 1864. And I just thought we could do better, and that that our message was a better fit for an urban election, especially an election in San Francisco. So a couple of guys who worked on Ron's campaign in 2008 asked me to run, and I said yes. So in a way, the John Dennis for Congress campaign is just an extension of the Ron Paul 2008 presidential campaign. We could just as easily use the Love Revolution signs out here.
Yeah, no, I see. If we come out there, I'll tell you one thing, that, and this was something to, as made Ron uncomfortable a little bit, is that we refuse to have anything to do with the political campaign. The Lovolution was totally separate. Now, as much as you would love to have the Phoenix Army and all the other people in Lovolution from all over, we're going to San Francisco. We got a bunch of friends, man. We're going rock and roll and whatnot. And you go, well, this is what I need you to do. I need you to no. It don't work that way. Okay, we do exactly what we want, as crazy as we want, and we are free to do whatever we want, and we have that kind of impact. That's where you get the diversity. That's where you get all the nooks and crannies filled in. That's where you get people that want to go work with the campaign, they will. But you know, that's not what we're about, because then, you know, what was it, an in-kind contribution? I gotta keep track of how much money I spent. That's why you had, you know what, you know, tens of millions of dollars that were spent outside of Ron's campaign that would not have been done had it had to be organized or contained or directed or managed. That is the whole point. So I just want to make sure we're clear on this, so that the campaign, what you have, will go, man, go, give money, go whatever. But, you know, we want to go actually do some politic and have some Nancy Pelosi fun. Ooh, we're going to do it all by our lonesome.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that's what, you know, that's what created character in the Ron Paul campaign. That's the reason why they're doing documentaries on the Ron Paul 2008 campaign and not on the Rudy Giuliani 2008 campaign.
Exactly.
So yeah, no, that's the beauty of what we believe in, is that people go out and do their thing, and we have to run our core campaign and set our objectives. But if people want to come out and help in other ways without, you know, connecting with our official campaign, that's their prerogative.
Oh, and it's to your advantage. Now, so that when we come back, now we got the long segment coming back. Oh, it's going to be the grilling. We're going to get the rest of the story. That John is going to make sure that we understand where he is positioned now post-primary in opposition to Nancy Pelosi, and what his plan is, and how might, as individuals, we can kind of augment that plan. I mean, it's all out in the open. Here, we're going to do it. You stay right there.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, we have John Dennis. John Dennis is running for as a Republican. He already got the nomination, beat the establishment. They had a bunch of monies, and he had a little bit and some support, and oh, he had that endorsement from that Ron Paul thing. Ooh, got the attention of some people. Boom! He whizzes by in the Republican primary. Now he's going to face Nancy Pelosi in San Francisco in Congressional 8, Northern California. Now, the one thing I wanted to make sure we finished up where we were at, John, is that how much did you beat your primary candidate by anyway?
10 points.
Yeah, handle it. Okay, so now we got a campaign going. Tell us about the campaign. You know, how are you doing? You got any numbers, you versus Nancy yet? Tell us about the demographics of San Francisco, because I'm getting the impression, as we've done some other stuff in San Francisco, that you have a very strong, of course, Democratic Pelosi kind of machine thing. But even though the Republicans may be in the minority, ooh, they vocal. They're very hard at this kind of extremes that you have on the left over there produces an extreme on the right. Where are you in there?
Yeah, well, so the city is about 53-54% registered Democrats. There's about 36-38% independents. Republicans are a little under 10%.
Whoa.
Yeah, but you know, Cindy Sheehan, I think you mentioned before, she ran in 2008 as well, and got 17% of the vote. And, you know, she was sort of a one-issue candidate. Not sort of, she was a one-issue candidate. And And so there are people who are very disappointed with Nancy Pelosi, who incidentally voted last week on two separate measures to continue funding Afghanistan, and whose voice has been completely silent on the matter. She's just, you know, towing the line for Barack Obama. So, you know, if people can get over the fact that I have R after my name or before my name, depending on where it sits on the ballot, you know, they're going to find that they have a candidate who can represent them on getting out of Iraq and Afghanistan. And if we can build on that base, we'll do well. WorldNet Daily did a poll showing me versus Pelosi at the end of March, and showed that if the election was held at that point, that I'd get 22% of the vote, which is 2.5 times what my Republican opponent in the primary got 2 years ago against Nancy Pelosi. So it shows that we have a base to build on, because 75% of the voters didn't know who I was.
Well, how are we doing now? Have you had anything recently?
No recent polls. We won't do one for a little bit. It's not a good time to do polls in the middle of the summer, particularly in the middle of July. So, but we're gonna do some issues oriented polling and see where that comes out. But you know, in the meantime, we're running the campaign, getting out to the other groups who don't know about me, and try and close that 75%.
Well, what's the main thing that you want to have them know? I mean, you know, John Dennis versus Pelosi because what?
Well, I think that what they have to see is the battle that we're going to have to fight is getting people beyond the partisan label, right? Because when they see Republican, they see George Bush, or they see somebody that they don't really like very much. So I think what we need to do is lead with issues like my position on Iraq and Afghanistan, like my position on marijuana, like my position on civil liberties, so that they see me in a different way. Let them know that I was endorsed by Ron Paul, who has an enormous amount of respect with independents and even on the left, and have them look at me in a different way, and then, you know, let them know that I had to fight through the Republican primary gauntlet as an anti-war candidate, and my party put me forward on a position of principle. And why is it that Nancy Pelosi, can't fight back against Barack Obama for continuing the senseless?
No, she's business. The same. Yeah, I know the rhetoric. She's bad. That's why. Now the thing is that how much are you pushing the Ron Paul endorsement thing? I mean, is it like, you know, endorsed by Ron Paul, 2/3 of the sign, John Dennis, defeat Pelosi? I mean, the reason I say that is because I who's John Dennis? That don't mean anything, you know?
Sure, sure.
I mean, this whole thing, the only thing that you really got for it is a breakthrough of this movement, this levolution, that is, you know, just to even have them go look at your website, because I know how voters are, man. They're just like, you know, I'll think about it, a couple of days. Heck, I get tons of calls from people with their ballot in front of them. I'm like, seriously? You know what? So this is, how are you penetrating? What are you breaking? They got, a bunch of banners on overpasses in San Francisco, do they? I mean, are they passing? I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, so we're all that stuff is in the works. And yes, we'll have the town will be covered with signs. And we're going to have an event with Ron out here, probably in September. And we're going to definitely use Ron's connection, because I said before. Let me give you a quick story. I went to the Harvey Milk Democratic Club meeting back in, I think, April, and introduced myself. I was introduced as a Republican seeking the nomination to run against Nancy Pelosi, and people were looking at me as this sort of odd alien creature. The Harvey Milk Democratic Club endorsement meeting. But after I sat down, I mentioned I was just there to observe. After I sat down, a woman looking at me from across the room just said, "I like Ron Paul." And I never said a word about being connected with Ron Paul. I just was there as a Republican observing their Democratic Club. And so absolutely we'll use his name. He's and his endorsement. It'll open people's eyes. And as I said before, he has an enormous amount of respect across the political spectrum.
Okay, now this is the thing. I mean, if I was looking at as a free oriented, freedom oriented, First Amendment using I don't need to coordinate, I can do what the heck I want kind of guy, okay, with an unlimited amount of money. It's called the First Amendment and the FEC can kiss it, okay? So I go there and I'm just, you know, we have Freedom's Phoenix Workshop here and I just start making all kinds of signs. It could be, you know, the revolution continues, Ron Paul endorses, and a little bitty John Dennis at the bottom. I mean, you know, or put your website at the bottom or something like that, just because it's a foundation to build on. But to do that, that means that, man, you got to be, you know, 99.736% in favor of every freaking thing he's ever uttered. You see my point? So I'm, where are the differences? John Dennis and Ron Paul split where?
Well, some issues and some differences. I mean, I think the big one is on choice, de facto pro-choice, although I agree with him that it's not a federal government issue and that should be left to the states. I also agree with him that it shouldn't be a...
subsidized.
It shouldn't be subsidized. We shouldn't be subsidizing stem cell research. But I think at the end of the day, I wouldn't use the force of the state to prevent people from making that unfortunate choice. So I think that's a substantial difference that also I think will work out well in this district. On most other issues, I have to say I tend to agree with him. I think we might have some small differences on how we should exit Afghanistan. I'd like to see them sit down and start the reconciliation process right now, bring the Taliban to the table, and then start the withdrawal. Whereas I think Ron would just be like, well, let's fold up shop and march out of there.
Leave. Just leave. Leave, yeah. Leave. You know what I want to negotiate? You let me leave.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you keep that on a very short leash. If you're going to do that reconciliation process, you give it a time frame, 60 days, something like that, and then you get moving. But, I mean, substantially, we're on the same page. I agree with Ron on most things. It's the reason why I was so proud to get that endorsement and why that was the highlight, I think, of the campaign, aside from winning.
Well, what is it you think that you need in fundraising? I mean, you're going to, towards the end, I mean, it's going to be all kinds of marketing, de la, whatever the heck it is you think you want to do. And I, see, look at it this way, John, and you saw this with the Ron Paul evolution. There was never a doubt in my mind that what the lamestream media, the media so last century, was going to do. They did not comprehend the power of peer-to-peer, mind-to-mind, free minds, young people being able to communicate instantaneously with each other. And every attempt that the lamestream media made at trying to spin whatever the heck happened, regardless of how well Ron did, they were spinning. And every time they did that, it was jumped on by everybody, and they lost credibility. And they're going to keep doing it because they don't know anything else. I'm sitting back here laughing my butt off, going, you guys just keep doing it. Because all it means is that anything you have to say in the future has less and less credibility with an entirely new generation that knows you're full of it. And I'm just like, man, here's your 20, okay? So I have no problem with whatever you got to come up against, because anything that I do is going to totally bypass any controls that they have. That means stickers, flyers, banners, signs, everywhere, saturating San Francisco, all over the place for a certain period of time. And it'll be, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks of the most opportunity, right before Super Bowl time, when they start voting. And it's going to be on issues, whatever the heck I want, because I can. And the thing is that I need to know what I'm competing against. You're going to be out there while I'm saying something and pushing a certain issue. Are you going to, because I had the same problem with Ron. I'm in New Hampshire, and they're starting to push and going this weird anti-immigration focus kind of, what the heck was that? I'm not going to go up against that kind of crap. I just don't have time. It changes the tone of the entire effort. So you tell me, what is your main focus that you're going to be focusing on? You can't have 15 things. It's going to be 1, 2, 3 max, probably, in something. What's the slogan on your sign? What's it say?
Yeah, we're working through that right now. We think the majority of the message is going to get absorbed after Labor Day. But here's what I suspect. I suspect we're going to use the issues where that would surprise folks on the left and on the independents on where a Republican stands. you know, anti-war, pro-civil liberty, that sort of stuff, to get their attention on the one hand. But then the issues that I think that are most important to people are jobs and the debt and the pending disaster of the American economy.
And your solution is what?
Well, I don't offer nirvana. I just offer freedom. If you believe in Say's law, if you believe that if the government gets out of the way, then the economy will move and we'll find an equilibrium in the economy, and people will have jobs and we'll have a situation where we actually are producing, you know, wealth and job creation by getting the government out of our hair. That's what I offer. I offer paying down debt. I offer cutting government spending. I offer reducing taxes, cutting taxes, and getting rid of the really insidious taxes like the income tax and the inflation tax. Those are the things that I offer in order to create a robust economy. And Nancy Pelosi and her crew don't really offer much of a solution because they don't have much of a track record. They have created a disaster. You know, people, I think, have a tough time sleeping at night worrying about the debt that they've been burdened with by the federal government. Nancy Pelosi has been at the nexus of that. So those are the kinds of issues that we're going to drive at, and we're going to have to change people's perceptions and then go after the economy.
You know, I've been worried about it for a long time, okay? This is one thing that I want to see what your thoughts are on this, and it'll tell us a lot. I am of the opinion it ain't getting saved. We're done. The Titanic is going down. Everybody's so worried about saving the ship of state. We got to go out and, you know, save the ship of state. We got to patch up the holes. We got to get, you know, and nobody even brings up the fact that there's people going to die on the ship. You know, it's like, hey, you guys go worry about the ship all you want. I'm going to go save the people, okay? We're going to go up there and we'll say, you know, and heck, for grins and giggles, we might key the hull as it goes down, all right? But the thing is that, you know, are we really going to save this thing? Should it be saved? And if we can use your campaign to help educate people in San Francisco, no less, that they understand what got us here and why, regardless of what the vote totals are, we win. You know, more minds are free. That's all I've done. This is just a foundation. What we saw in the Lovelution is just the continuation of us doing this nationally for two decades already. That's what the infrastructure, the skeletal backbone of that level, why it exploded so quickly, is because there are so many libertarian activists that I knew around the country that we distributed this nationally. Boom. And it just happened. And a lot of people didn't understand. How did you not know? This is what's happened in this country. There's an entire generation that's feeling it. Everybody's ox is getting gored. And to sit there and offer, let's go fix the machine that did it to you. Let's go put a Band-Aid on it. And I'm like, you're not. Okay.
I had the same conversation with Charles Goyette, and I know he feels the same way. And that there's no way to resolve it or fix it. I don't necessarily agree. And I listened to a really interesting podcast with Bob Higgs the other day, who's the author of so many books I couldn't begin to tell you. But in it, he said, you know, keep in mind that the regime doesn't want this to go down because it doesn't help them. And also, the history of regime failure doesn't bode well for the people.
No, it does not.
So if the thing does go down, then we're going to be the ones who are going to be left with a far more intrusive totalitarian prospect.
That's why I got six chickens in my backyard in Central Phoenix.
Yeah, so I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm in this fight, because what are the choices? If Bob Higgs wrote the great classic book Crisis and Leviathan, when Leviathan creates the crises, the crises occur, they always step in and take more power. And that's a really hard thing to overcome. I'm trying to be one of the voices out there for saying, you know, for free markets and individual liberty, and saying, no, this is what created the problem. The Leviathan, the government, created this problem in the first place. We've got to stop going in that direction. So the choice is just sit back and let it happen, or roll up your sleeves and get in the fight and see what you can do. And I just chose the latter.
Okay, now this is what I can offer, all right? Because I can. First Amendment, FEC, go bite, okay? I can do whatever the heck I want. This is what I'm willing to do. We'll go in, go and have and make sure and get attention to, and they can't ignore you and get the interviews and be on the television, radio, and they're freaking Love Illusionaries out there whipping butt because we can. You know, making sure, have, you know, hello, we're in San Francisco. You know, we want to do that. We can do it. We're going to talk about how when we come back. Stay right there. This is how revolutions start. John Dennis. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah, let's stop. Take a look around here and declare your independence. See what's going on. We got John Dennis, Congressional District 8 in California, going up against Nancy Pelosi. And we need to pay attention, if not get involved. But get involved how and why? To do what? So we get the most votes? You know, that's a side effect as far as I'm concerned. That's, you know, I want freed minds. Freed minds vote for John Dennis, you know, because, that's assuming they're voting. That's a whole nother thing, John. How much confidence you have in the electronic system counting votes?
Yeah, that's beyond my control. I have enough confidence to say that, to get involved in electoral politics. So, you know, they can always do what they want, but we can use the platform to deliver our message.
Aha! See, that is the thing. People, as much as I go hammering on election fraud, and they'll go, well, why do you run for office? I go, so I can tell you how bad election fraud is. It's like, you can do whatever you want. You can get the message, free minds. All this other stuff is a side effect. Even the Supreme Court, justices, you have congressmen, presidential candidates, all this stuff, they follow the culture. They try and represent. They don't lead. They follow. And how you get them to follow is by giving them something to follow. And, I mean, I'm telling you, John, I'm excited about your race. We could have an impact. But I'm not going to fight you, okay? I am not going to fight in this, you know, the Republican Party or this Republican win. Oh, yeah, but if you say that and we can't and this, that, never mind. I'm not going then, okay? Because I will not get involved in electoral politics. That is not what focuses, you know, my attention. My attention is on how many minds we can free and associate your and Dr. Paul's name with it so that they have a way to express themselves by supporting your campaign, by repeating your slogans, by talking around the water cooler, by changing the culture there. That is what I do. If I can't do that, I'm not interested. I mean, you're right. I got to deal with electoral politics and internal ouch, quit it, and who blogged and Facebooked what, and I couldn't possibly care less when I could spend all that time making more signs.
Sure. Well, you know, do your thing. I mean, I can't, we can't tell you what to do. And if you want to get involved in the campaign, feel free to do it at johndennis2010.com. And if, you know, you and your folks want to do your thing, that's all great. I will say this, that volunteer activity, whether it's coordinated through the campaign or outside the campaign, has an enormous impact. We noticed that when the precinct work that we did, where we really covered precincts in the primary, we won 90% of them. And so, volunteer activity, no matter what you do, it has a positive positive impact on the campaign.
Okay, I went to FTC. You heard that. Nancy Pelosi, everything. He said, yeah, you do what you want. I don't have nothing to do, and it's up to you. You see? Cleared. Done. That's how it works. Now, yep. I want to do it, I can do it, and, you know, let's go to court now, because I'm waiting for them. You know, I was looking for them to come after me for the Levolution. I'm like, what, I'm not important enough? I mean, come on, man. let's go to court. I want the FCC, I want a Supreme Court decision on this. I'm not allowed to have my unlimited expression of whatever I want to do along with, 10,000 of my closest friends. Go ahead, come on.
I'll tell you something, Ernest. The Rand Paul thing was a really eye-opening experience. I mean, it wasn't surprising on the one hand. On the other hand, because I'm a candidate and a public figure now, it opened my eyes to a lot of things. And it made me realize that every single time a libertarian, pro-liberty kind of person gets any kind of prominence or any kind of success, They go after them. They smear them. They smear them with racism most of the time. They go after them. And so, like, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. In some ways, I'm expecting it as well.
You know, I want to talk about Rand. And so, can you stay over? You
got I'll stay over, yeah.
Would you please? Let's go ahead and do that. Another couple of segments. Because there's a lot I want to talk about and how this is going to develop. Because it is. You know, this is, you know, oh, man. You think they're not coming? Big bad guy's coming. We'll talk about it when we come back.